certainly thankful for the prayer that was offered on our behalf. I wanted to ask for you to continue to pray for me. And last Sunday, I tried to preach on faith, and I didn't finish my thoughts. And if the Lord would bless this morning, I want to continue with those thoughts. We hear a lot said about faith as we go through life, faithfulness. Oftentimes, we think about that when we think about our spouse. Are they faithful? We know what that means. Faithfulness is a word that's spoken of a lot. We have faith in our children. On and on goes the list. It's a very common word. And the Webster's Dictionary definition of faith would just be to have complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Now, this song says, when the Lord bids us walk in the valley of woe, I think everybody here can say that for whatever reason, and there's numerous reasons, we've all walked in the valley of woe and very well may walk in the valley of woe again. It says if it were not for our faith, we'd fall by the wayside, and I believe that to be the truth. It goes on and says, if the pathway be rough as we journey along, then our faith makes us look far ahead. Does it not? Isn't that so true? As we journey through life, as things are not going as we had hoped and planned, do we not all look toward that great place that we're going to go one day called heaven? Is that not the hope that we have, and is that not the faith within us that drives us to continue our lives? We spoke last week about faith being a part of our lives, and yet there are men in this world who are faithful but not faithful unto God. Now, remember the definition in generically or broadly means to have complete trust and confidence in someone or something. I know people that have trust in the government. It's hard to believe there's anybody who has much trust there any longer, but there are people who trust the government. They trust their family. They trust their spouse. They trust science. They trust someone. I believe all men have faith in something, but Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. When we read the Bible, we're looking at faith, and we're considering faith that's a faith that allows us to believe in God. It's faith that comes from God. You know, we oftentimes preach about doctrine. The definition of doctrine in the Hebrew just means instruction or what is taught. In the Bible, for the most part, now it mentions in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that there are doctrines of devils, but most of the time when doctrine's mentioned in the Bible, it's speaking about the instruction that God has given us. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Whatever's written in this book from the very first word to the very last is God's instruction concerning all matters. Not only our eternal salvation, but our walk and journey in this life. We know that faith is something that we need to go on. We're all familiar with it. The Bible tells us that we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the faith that you have today was something that began with God. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, as he hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, intrinsic faith that was given to you when you were born of the Spirit of God. If you don't understand that, there's much of the Bible you won't understand, because there's a great fallacy even among Christians in error to believe that all men have faith to believe in God. They just got to be able to tap into that faith. They've got to be able to somehow approach that individual and that faith will come forth. But Paul said, for not all men have faith. Not all men have faith in God. Romans chapter 10 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I'll declare unto you today that if you were not given faith and you weren't born again of the Spirit of God, you will not call upon the Lord to be saved in any degree. Not in a temporal manner or an eternal manner either, because God means nothing to you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Furthermore, we're told by John when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, in verse 3, I believe it is, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That tells me unless the Spirit of God resides in you, you can't see it, discern it, and likely you have no desire for it. He goes on down in verse 5 and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In two verses there, he says you can't see it and you can't enter into it. And he says, unless you're born of water, what does that mean? It means unless you're washed, cleansed by the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteous we've done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sins be put away as far as the east is from the west, and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when you read that verse in Romans chapter 10, it's not a broad invitation for anyone out here in the world to call upon the name of the Lord so that they'll be eternally saved. Because I'm telling you, those who are not born of the Spirit of God will not call upon the name of the Lord. Furthermore, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, he says the fruit of the Spirit, as he goes through those, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. If the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you can't bear the fruit of faith, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So when we understand that the faith that we have began with God, then we begin to understand more about what the Word of God teaches. Back over there in Romans chapter 10, it says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But you first got to understand that you have to have a beginning to that faith, and it began with God. God planted it in your heart and soul when you're born again of the Spirit of God. Notice what he tells the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is very interesting. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Now, this tells me that our faith can grow. We can become stronger in the faith, and likely we can become weaker in the faith. I believe the Bible teaches that. Let's notice what it says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. We're to receive those that are weak in the faith. That tells me that not everybody has strong faith. Not everybody's faith is growing exceedingly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we journey through life, our faith should become stronger and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that he is our only hope. We're going to get to that, and we're going to spend a lot of time over in Hebrews chapter 11 and also in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." I would see Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Hand in hand, I walk with Jesus every day. Is there a theme there? It's all about Jesus. I don't know whether we're all making it about Jesus or not, but that's really what life's about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You were created for his glory and for his honor. In everything that you do, that should be your desire and your motivation. And we'll get more to that in just a little bit. Let's go back for just a minute and give a little bit of a summarization of the verse, the text that I used last Sunday. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, let's just read, I want to read one other verse there. Beginning of verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul said death is on the rise, and it's very near to me. And we know it was when we read the history, not only in the Bible, but otherwise. He said, "I'm ready to be offered." He's ready to go home and be with the Lord. He's been ready to go home and be with the Lord for a long time. If you read the book of Philippians, his desire was to always go and be with the Lord. He says, "I have fought a good fight." That's what we talked about so much last Sunday, the fight. Life is truly a fight, and it begins in here, inside of us, between the flesh and the spirit. And you know, it's an interesting thing. The world that is not born of the Spirit of God does not have to deal with that fight. You might think, well, that's good, but I'm going to tell you one thing. When you do something that is wrong in your life, When you treat somebody in a way you shouldn't treat them, when you sin in whatever manner you sin, and it bothers your conscience and eats you alive, it tells you there's a fight going on inside of you. You know what's wrong, and even though we all know what's wrong, we don't always do what's right. We're sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. But when you're consciously aware of doing something wrong and that you committed a sin, and you feel guilty about it and bad about it, I believe that's a testimony and an assurance that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Because I think those who are born without the Spirit don't give much concern to those kind of things. So there's just a constant battle going on. He said, I've fought a good fight. The life that you and I live is a fight. It's a fight that goes on in here. That's where it begins. You know, I think so much about how the world is today, and we're all guilty of this, of blaming everybody for why we're our problems. I'm not happy because of so-and-so. So-and-so didn't do this. You know, that began early on, did it not, with Adam and Eve? Eve blamed the serpent for the trouble that came about when she believed the lie that Satan spoke to her. You shall not die. You shall be as a God, knowing good and evil. Then Adam comes along and he blamed God to begin with for giving him the woman, and then he blamed the woman for giving him the forbidden fruit. The blame game has went on forever. You can't believe how many people live their life out in a state of unhappiness and difficulty, and they blame somebody else for all their troubles. Jesus Christ said, when his disciples went to eat and the Pharisees came to him and said, why do your disciples not wash their hands when they eat? Now, this is a mute point in my opinion, but it's the example that Jesus used. Jesus went right to them and said, it's not what goes into you. It's not your surroundings that defile you. It's what comes out of your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Friends, it starts in here. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. They have nothing. The flesh has nothing to do with God. The more we can understand about that as God's children, the more we realize why we are how we are. The flesh doesn't love God. The flesh doesn't desire God. The flesh loves itself. The flesh wants to do what self wants. The flesh wants to feel the fulfillment and the lust of the flesh. It's always been that way. And even though you're born of the Spirit of God, it hadn't subsided. It hadn't ceased. That's where the warfare comes in. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that I would do, I do not. And that I wouldn't, that I do. Yet not I, but the sin that dwelleth in me. We can't just say there's an excuse. You've got to make a conscious effort because there's a fight going on. Now, you know, you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're told finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. If you wasn't in a fight, why would you have to have any armor? There are outside extremities. And Satan being our enemy, our adversary, he sees when we become weak. He knows our weak points and he enters in. You know, how many times has Satan in your life told you, you deserve that, you're right. This person done that to you and they deserve what they're getting. That's not how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with matters. And it's not how you and I should. But I tell you, it's oftentimes the response we get from our own flesh. You know, our flesh wants revenge. Our flesh wants to blame everything that's wrong in our life on someone else or some other thing. But friends, the real problem starts in our own heart. It really does. And we have that battle, and as long as your eyes are open in this life, and as long as you're breathing in air, you're going to have that battle. It's never going to cease. Paul said, I fought a good fight. And you know, I know when you read when you look at Paul and all that he suffered, he was beaten 40 times by the Jews with stripes, stoned, left in the ocean to drown and didn't. I mean, the Lord brought him along. And then when he got to the 12th chapter, of 2 Corinthians, he prayed to the Lord to remove that from him. Remove it. The thorn of his flesh. It reminds me of something being painful, whether it was an actual pain in his flesh or a pain in his heart, pain in his mind. We've all had both of them. The pain in the mind and the heart sometimes is far worse than the pain in the flesh. You know what? Pain in the flesh will finally subside. Pain in the heart sometimes never goes away. That's why we need to have faith in God, a God who does not change. I don't care how much people around you change, how much they change from the time that you first begin to know them till today, however long that's been. You serve a God today that I encourage you to look unto, and he's the author and finisher of our faith that never changes. That's why we have so much confidence, and we can be so enlightened with God because he doesn't change. His promises are good. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The good fight is the fight of faith. Did you know that? Notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul again says in the 12th verse, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on the promise that God has given you. You know, we're to hold fast our profession of faith and not waver. Because he that promised is faithful. God is faithful. He never broke a promise. He's going to bring you to heaven to live with him forever. And you'll never have the problems that you encounter today. But when Jesus told Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, he said, I'm going to help you get through it. If Jesus doesn't deliver you totally from it, he's going to help you get through it. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know why that is? Until you and I come to the end of our way in life. And I promise you, I believe this could you could embrace everybody in this. Till you finally been brought to the end of your way. And you finally have a bad enough day. Sometimes you got to go that far before you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how strong we think we are, but life has a way of teaching us that we don't have the strength. Jesus said in John chapter 15, for without me ye can do nothing. Do we believe that? But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I would see Jesus. Them songs this morning, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds to in a believer's ear. Do we walk hand in hand every day? Does our faith lead us on? We talked last Sunday about that great cloud of witnesses, which is the Old Testament patriarch spoken of in the Bible, but every one of us can attest to a great cloud of witnesses that were faithful to the end of their lives. I know I can, and I can look back through my life, and I can see them. I can see them. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I believe that is what you and I need to strive to do, to keep the faith, to keep the faith. In spite of the adversity or the afflictions or whatever may come along in our lives, we should contend for the faith. We should contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know that word contend means to struggle. We spend a lot of time talking about the struggles we go through in life to do the right thing. I mean, all of us have this flesh that we're clothed in, and we want to please the flesh sometimes more often than we ought. And it can be a real problem in our lives, and it can lead us in the wrong direction, and it can cause us to be moved away from God. But I encourage you, and I challenge you as God's children, to keep the faith, to finish your course. We're going to finish our course, every one of us. We may not finish it by keeping the faith. We may draw back. Our course will be finished when we close our eyes and we're no longer upon the earth. But I encourage you to keep the faith, to fight a good fight, the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God and prepare yourselves to stand against the wiles of the devil. When our old flesh begins to desire the things of this world, Satan's there to help us along, to root us along, to push us away from God. And we've seen that that's happened many times over among God's people as time has went on. Let's go over for Hebrews a little bit today, and we'll try to conclude this and look at a few things that were taught in this. Hebrews chapter 11 is what you'd call a catalog, if you would, of people who kept the faith. They went through great adversity. Most of them far more adversity than you and I have ever went through. They didn't live in the great homes and have the great cars and all the advantages in life that you and I have from that standpoint. They had a lot of adversity. They had a lot of affliction. But you know, sometimes, even in the good times, we can be drawn away from God. Moses said verse 25 of this chapter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm going to tell you, sin is a problem in our life. We're all sinners. And even though we have a conscious awareness of sin, it's still a struggle to overcome sin, I believe. Because our flesh, it lusts after the things of this world. It's enticed by the things of this world. And we got to fight against that, or we fall into those things very easily. Paul said, I've kept the faith, and that's not an easy thing to do because of the warfare that rages within us. He says in verse 1 of chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, that is somewhat of a definition, but it's also a description. Faith is the what gives us and persuades us and gives us confidence of things hoped for. It is that. We hope for a better place. We hope for a place of pure happiness. I believe we'll live in one. I sure do. No matter how many sorrows you may have had today or in the past or you may have in the future, the Bible tells me one day you're going to live in a place where you'll be happy from now on. There'll never be another unhappy day. There'll never be another sigh. There'll never be another tear shed. And you know that song we sang, we look afar out there sometimes when the going gets rough in life. We do, because we know that we've been promised heaven and immortal glory, a place where the troubles and the trials and the afflictions of this life don't exist. But also, it says the evidence of things not seen. I believe God gives His children faith, in the eye of faith, to see Him even though He can't be seen with the naked eye. These Old Testament patriarchs here were to encourage the Jewish Christians in the Hebrew letter. And they're here to encourage us. Just as, I tell you right now, the cloud of witnesses I called back upon in my lifetime, my grandfather, Brother George especially, and many others, that were faithful unto the end. They didn't fall by the wayside. They had a lot of adversity. They had a lot of affliction. But they were looking unto Jesus all the time. You see, that's what happens when we don't look to Jesus. We begin to fall by the wayside. What happened to Peter when he bid the Lord Jesus Christ to walk on the water? Long as he had his eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he did so. But then we begin to look at the circumstances and the situation that surrounded him, and he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Friends, we're no different. When we quit looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we'll begin to sink. Sometimes we sink into despair and into great difficulty. We notice that this faith is called, notice what it says here in verse 38 of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. This chronological order of folks in chapter 11 is a working definition of exactly what that means. The just shall live by faith. But notice the rest of the verse. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God has pleasure in those that continue to keep on keeping on, regardless of what's going on in their life. I tell you, life is hard. I made this statement last Sunday. It's full of struggles. Sometimes we're not nearly as spiritual as we'd like to be. Maybe we're not as zealous as we ought to be. Maybe our focus is just on our troubles or on the difficulties at hand, or maybe I've seen folks when they get older, they've had such plans for retirement, but they lose sight of God and live out those days fulfilling those desires. There is pleasure in those things for a while. But the Bible says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I tell you, real happiness begins with God. If you're not happy with the Lord and you're not right with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't expect to have a life filled with happiness. You know, a lot of God's people don't understand that. It begins with the Lord. It begins with the Lord and it ends with the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author. That means he was the one that authored your faith. He planted that faith within you. And he's going to bring it to its final conclusion, to its completion. If we want to be able to go through life and stand against the difficulties that we encounter, we got to stay focused on Jesus Christ, because when we're not, we're going to be focused on things that will lead us where we ought not to go. We're going to fall back. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, the Apostle Paul said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." When you walk by faith, it'll lead you on to perfection. And I don't mean to a state of sinlessness, but let's notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." That talks about a Christian being mature and being complete and having an understanding. You know, there's a verse over in Proverbs that I don't think a lot of people understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the fulfillment of wisdom, it's the beginning. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you want to understand life, if you want to understand where you are in this life and what's going on in your life, you need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in this book. There's nothing to wonder about. He said, "Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance." That tells me that some of those folks that fall back again need to repent. What from? Dead works and faith toward God. Is it possible that you could have been strong in the faith and finally fell back? Maybe it got too difficult. Maybe we got tired of fighting. You know, we get weary. You know, I used that word last Sunday, you know, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not," if you don't vanish away off the scene, if you don't just give up and give in. I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you right now, being faithful unto the end is not easy. It's not. Things don't go your way in the life. Things don't go your way in church. Things don't go way in your marriages, in your friendships. I mean, let's get real. We all have these problems at some time in our life, maybe having some of them now. It's hard sometimes to put one foot in front of the other and continue treading down that road of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I tell you, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we can't do it. It tells us back over in the last verse of chapter 10, "But we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." But there's no doubt people can fall back. We can draw back. And there's numerous reasons it causes us to draw back. But the number one reason is we quit looking at Jesus. That's really it. Whether you want to admit it or I won't admit it. You know, I spent the first 30 years of my life. And you talk about not having any faith, not being faithful. I wasn't. And my faith is not perfect now. But and I'm not here to make light of that. There wasn't nothing good about it. It's just the truth. The world, I was enticed by the world and by the job that I'd done and what I was involved in, my career and going to the house of the Lord and worshiping the Lord was just not important to me. And sometimes I try to remember that when I look at the young people that don't attend church now. But it just wasn't. You know, I had excuses, if you want to get down to it. You know, when I was a senior in high school, and my mother probably don't want me telling this story, but mother and daddy got a divorce, and I don't tell it to make a light out of it. But that began to be my first excuse. You know, I really didn't want to go, so that was a good reason not to go, so I just quit going. And down the road, I went with grandma and grandpa a few times, but pretty soon I just fell into my ways, and I'd rather work on Sunday. But you know, I didn't give God any time during the week. Some people say, "Well, I don't need to go." I know some young people say, "I don't need to go to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord," even though the Bible tells us to. But that wasn't the reason I didn't go to church, because I thought I could worship the Lord and I was doing a fine job in my home and in my family. I just didn't care. I just wasn't very faithful. I joined a church when I was 12 years old and I got caught up in the world. I tell you, when you go to Galatians chapter 5, the two things that the Christian must know: you're either going to yield to the Spirit or you're going to yield to the flesh. There's not a little bit of each and a little bit of both. You either yield to the flesh or you yield to the Spirit. And that warfare goes on, that fight. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not an easy one. It's not for the weak of heart, and it's not for the faint, because it's a fight. It's a difficulty to keep on keeping on. But I tell you, you know, and I speak a lot of Brother George, but I'm going to tell you, I never met a more faithful man than he was. There was nothing in this world would keep him out of the house of the Lord. But it's, you know, the faithful are not so much today. There's some still here, and I see them. That's the great cloud of witnesses that we have. I'm so thankful for him because of the example. That's what we all are. We're all examples to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends. You know, to do the right thing. And, you know, children grow up. Mine have grown up. Some of them don't go to the house of the Lord. And, you know, I can't do anything about it. But I want to keep being an example that God caught. You know, it'd be, like I said, it'd be easy to throw in the towel. Become weary. Become weary and quit doing the right thing. I mean, I got all kinds of excuses. I had them when I was young. But if the Lord will bid me and give me the strength to do so, I'm going to stay as long as there's a place to worship. I'm going to be there. Even though I'm concerned about the circumstances. I'm concerned about a lot of things. We all are in life. The church, our children, or whatever it is that we're entangled in. It's something to be concerned about. But Jesus Christ has never changed. You don't have to worry about him. You don't have to worry if he's not going to be there for you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't have to worry if his promise is true. They are. That's why he's God and we are who we are. That's why we can count on him. You know, when you look at the first three in chronological order here, it was Abel, Enoch, and Noah. None of them ever saw God with the naked eye. Did you know that? But God gave them some great assurances. Let's notice in verse 6 down here. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That is to please God. Now, we could reread that and say, with faith, it's possible to please him. But it's not an absolute. It's not an absolute. We have to exercise our faith. It's not something that just happens. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That doesn't just mean you've got to sit under the sound of preaching. I think that's good and wise and called upon, but we hear God through the reading of his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's our outward faith. For the person who has the measure of faith, and the Spirit is producing the fruit of the faith, our faith can grow exceedingly, become stronger and stronger. We really need it to. As the world goes on, I know my faith needs to be stronger. My hope needs to be greater. You know, hope is the anchor of the soul. And faith gives that hope, assurance, persuasion. He says, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word diligently there just means to be steady, constant. That's what it means to be diligent, to be steady and be constant in seeking him. You know, this tells me that we must believe that God is who he says he is, even though we ain't seen him with the naked eye. And I think everyone sitting here believes that. And I don't think any of you have probably seen him. I think you felt him in your heart, and you've seen him in other individuals as he works in their lives. But I've never seen him with the naked eye. But I believe he is there. I believe that we see him in creation, as he told us in Romans chapter 1, and that we're without excuse. But there are many men who have not faith because they're not born of the Spirit of God. But I'm not preaching to them. I'm trying to preach to those who have been born of the Spirit of God, those who I encourage to fight the good fight of faith. You know, be thou a good servant, a faithful servant, as we're told in Matthew chapter 25, thou good and faithful servant. That's what the Lord said unto the one that had 5 talents and to the one that had 2. Because they took what God gave them and they went out into the world and continued on. And when they were finished, God gave them more than they had to begin with. We don't retire in our discipleship or in Christianity. We go on. We press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God, which is Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind us, we can't change those. But realizing that our life is in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 35, many of these patriarchs that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, seen some miraculous things happen. The Red Sea opened. We noticed that Moses here, he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, when you think about Moses or Lot, they had opportunity down in the world. That's what Egypt represents, the world. It represents our carnal flesh, and it represents the world. Lot loved what he saw. Lot loved what he saw. Abraham walked by faith, and Lot walked by sight. Abraham continued on. He was always faithful unto God. And you can read about all these, but notice in others, it talks about others who were faithful, whose names are not mentioned. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover, of bonds, of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now, when these folks continued on in faith, that says something. Says a lot. Verse 38 tells us what it really said, of whom the world was not worthy. We're not worthy if we don't walk in faith for what these men and women done for us, because they went through great trials of affliction. They went through great adversity. Paul encourages us to walk in faith, to fight the good fight. I want to go down here and get a couple verses out of chapter 12, and I want to close. It begins with, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That wherefore has reference back to chapter 11 of all these witnesses who were faithful. They were to be an encouragement and a motivator to the Jewish Christians as they are to us. Because they didn't have a road of easiness. They wasn't different than us, but they persevered. That's a great thing about fighting the good fight, is to persevere. It's when your life is not going exactly like you'd like it to. Maybe you're not as happy as you wish you were. Maybe something in your life is not the way you want it to be. Can you keep on keeping on? That's exactly what these folks did. But the Bible tells us there are those who become weak in the faith and draw back. And it says it causes them to go into perdition, which means ruin and destruction. And that doesn't mean that they'll necessarily lose all their finances or their house would be destroyed. But I tell you, the inner peace and the joy that they could have by following the Lord Jesus Christ and continuing to look unto Him, they won't have that. When turmoil comes, they won't have the inner peace. They won't have the happiness. The Bible teaches that without doubt. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This is talking about a race, if you would, not a sprint, a marathon, and in some way you could call it a relay. But it speaks to each one of us about our course and our journey in life. It begins when we're born into this world, and it'll end when we close our eyes in death. It says, lay aside or put away every weight, every burden. Whatever burdens you have in your life, no matter what they are, put them away if it's hindering your race. If it's hindering you walking the walk of faith or fighting the good fight of faith, as Paul said. It goes on, and the sin which so easily beset us. Do you know what the word beset means in this verse? It brings on the thought of a competitor. And there's no doubt in my mind that's what that means here. It competes with us. The flesh competes with the spirit to draw you away from God. It is a competitor. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. It competes with us, no doubt about it. And it draws us away from that race of faith. Amen. He says, and let us run with patience, endurance. James says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When our faith is tried, it should bring on endurance or perseverance. And we have the encouragement of many, not only that we've grown up with, and I mentioned a few names, I could mention a whole lot more. We have these in the Word of God. We have those that we witnessed that stood the test of time, stayed stayed in a household of faith and never wavered or fell away. And they're examples unto us, just as these cloud of witnesses were examples unto the Jewish brethren. You know, I made mention last Sunday in John chapter 6, Jesus was preaching. And this is the time he preached a message. And for whatever be it the reason, they didn't like it. Now, my messages could very well be disliked, and I understand. But Jesus Christ was the only perfect preacher that ever lived with the only perfect message that ever lived. And there were many that turned and walked with him no more. You know, we need to keep on keeping on. Life is hard. The fight that goes on within us is a raging fight, and it's real. Until we come to realize that that goes on in our lives, and it is real, until we lay aside or put away the burdens of this life and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it'll be hard to continue down that road, to run it with endurance. Because sin's always going to compete with us for time with the Lord. Your sins will always, your flesh will always be competing with your spirit to take time away from the Lord. It's a real competition. It's called a warfare in the Bible. And it rages within all of us. I believe that is one of the most real things. But I'm thankful it does rage within us because it assures us that we are God's children. It gives us a conscious awareness of when we don't do what is right. And it goes on and it says, to run the race with patience that is set before us. That's our course. We all have a race. We all have a course. And we're all going to finish it. But I don't know if we'll all be able to say, as Apostle Paul said, I've kept the faith. You and I know men and brethren and sisters, I can name them, that have kept the faith until their dying day. I encourage you to keep the faith until your dying day. Look unto Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of him. Life is all about Jesus Christ. Let's notice here, who for the joy that was set before him. Do you know that he endured the cross, despised the shame? That he was faithful to keep his promise because he was looking at you and I? He was looking at his children. He knew what he was going to suffer. He knew had the excruciating pain he was going to go through. He knew that he was going to be beaten beyond recognition. He knew that. This wasn't no surprise to him. But he seen you. Those that he loved from before the foundation of the world. He seen you who he loved unconditional. He seen you and he died for you. He was beaten for you. He was crucified for you. Now all we have to do is turn around and look unto him if we want to walk the walk of faith. That's all we got to do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Every day, wake up with Jesus, go to bed with Jesus, think about Jesus. How would Jesus have me to handle this situation? How would Jesus have me to make this situation or circumstance better in my life? Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. The child of God cannot do anything, I believe, that's really good without him. But Paul said, with the strength of Jesus, I can do all things. Jesus is going to help us. His grace is sufficient. He's either going to deliver us or he's going to give us what it takes to get through it. And every one of us go through hard times in life, both mentally and physically, spiritually, whatever they are. We all go through them, maybe going through them now. You know, if your life is like mine, it's like kind of like a roller coaster. There are good times, you're going along real good, and then all of a sudden you're down in the valley. That's where I've been a big part of my life. But I encourage you to keep the faith, to fight the good fight of faith, to not let the things of this world cause you to draw back. May God bless us to hold on to that profession of faith and to walk in the walk of faith and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless you. It's my prayer this morning.